All righty. Good morning, everybody. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. And obviously, in the last hour, Hulk Hogan has passed, 71 years old, wrestling icon. Maybe not the greatest guy in the world, but certainly a...
You got to turn that down, brother.
What? Oh, my, okay, yeah, your my computer. Bad.
What's up, Steiny?
Sorry about that. Nada. Just, you know, thinking about Hulk Hogan and wrestling and...
thinking about your life?
Well,
you used to be into it when you were younger, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I actually kind of was phasing out as Hulk came in. And once he beat Andre, I was out. Because Andre was the last vestige to the true old-time wrestling. We can get into that a little bit. In fact, we're gonna have a guest on at noon, James Kincaid. James works for the Warriors, but he's also a pro wrestling commentator, and he's got a great understanding and knowledge of wrestling. We'll talk to him briefly about Hulk Hogan. Let me ask you: you want to throw anything out there about Hulkamania running wild?
Well, I wasn't around for it, but.
Oh, I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, it was in the 80s and the 90s, so it was a little bit before my time. But I think anybody that is synonymous with a sport, like if you say Hulk Hogan, it doesn't matter whether you saw him, whether you didn't, like you just think of wrestling. And I think there are people throughout history in which you can kind of point to that. And just like I never saw, and I'm not comparing the two whatsoever as far as human beings, but like if I say Jackie Robinson, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, Hulk Hogan to some extent is synonymous with wrestling in that regard. So, look, he's 71 years old. I feel like the more that we move forward, people feel like 71 is too young. I just feel like recently, all the kind of celebrity deaths, what Ozzy Osbourne earlier this week, Warner, you know, Malcolm Jamal Warner,
yeah.
All of them have been hitting people in different ways, you know, and I think it's kind of up to you. Like, I was just thinking about what was the last time that, you know, a celebrity or a sports death, like, really hit me. Probably Ricky Henderson was the most recent one. And again, I never saw him play, but he's so iconic in the area that I'm from, which is the East Bay, that it felt like a piece of the area that I'm from and that I love is gone. And I have to imagine a lot of people are feeling that way who grew up watching wrestling and love the sport, hearing the news about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, when I think of any death in the sports or entertainment world that, you know, really affected me, it was mostly when I was a little bit younger, and it also involved, you know, athletes who died way too early. And the one that I, to this day, remember a lot about was when Thurman Munson died. He was a catcher for the New York Yankees, part of their championship teams in the 70s, and he died in 1979, right in the middle of the baseball season on August 2nd. And Munson was from Ohio, and he was a family guy, so he learned how to be a pilot. And so on his off days, he would fly from New York to Ohio. And the Yankees had played on a Wednesday, and they were off on a Thursday, like a lot of teams are now. And he was flying back to Ohio, and his plane crashed. And right in the middle of a season, a guy who was in his 30s had passed away, and he was a big part of the heart and soul of the Yankees. So he was definitely one that I remember as a kid just being devastated, because that puts me at what? That puts me at about 15 years old. So, yeah, so sometimes it hits you. Lenny Bias was another one in 1986, drafted by the Celtics, and then died of a drug overdose the next day, I believe it was, or 2 days later.
Well, I think that there's a difference between figures that pass away literally too young, like children,
right,
and people that we look at as invincible. You know, and I don't know, maybe for Hulk Hogan, he fits into that category for people, but I think Kobe Bryant was probably the person that felt invincible for a lot of people just because of the way that he played, the way that he carried himself, and the figure that he was becoming. And obviously, he passed away too young, and everyone in that helicopter crash as well. It was such a tragic story, and it also coincided with the pandemic, so a lot of people were aware, or around the pandemic, so a lot of people, I think, were more aware of it. But, like, these figures that seem larger than life, you know, we don't know them. We can read about them. Some people are good people. Some people are bad people. A lot of us are in between. But the ones that make us feel like, your point with Thurman Munson as a kid, you probably thought he was invincible. Like, he's the captain of the Yankees. Growing up, I thought Junior Seau was invincible.
Mm.
You know, I thought that he was this Iron Man. And to a lot of my family members who are from San Diego, he was a larger-than-life figure. And when he passed away tragically at a young age and obviously took his own life, it was like you're reminded that we're just human.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a hard reality to get slapped in the face with by people that you revere, whether it's because of their athletic exploits or because of the kind of person they are.
Well, and the other thing is when you get to be a little bit older, like me, I'm 60, I'm a man. You always look at the ages of these people. As you know, Hulk was 71. Malcolm Jamal Warner, I think I saw, was 54. And I think Ozzy Osbourne was 77. But I start thinking, man, what if I only have 11 more years?
You thought of yourself when you heard this news?
No, you have to, dude. I mean, like, that's 11 years away. That's not a long time. You tell me that I'm kicking the bucket in 11 years, I'm probably walking out of the studio by 10:13 today. I'll finish up the first segment, but anyway.
Well, what, you got 2,000 rounds of golf left? Like, seriously, this is off the beaten path.
Sure.
I don't want to know when I'm going. I don't want to think about that.
What if you could? Would you like that?
No. I wouldn't.
Not you, talking about this.
Would you?
Yeah, right now I probably would. As long as I made it this far, I mean, I don't know. No, boy. Anyway, RIP Hulk Hogan. And like I said, we'll have James Kincaid on at noon today. And we can talk a little bit more about it. Anybody wants to jump in on Hulk and talk about him, you can. 888-957-9570. Here's what I want to talk about today, though. One of the things I want to talk about today is, you know, we talk sports all the time on this show and others. And I started to think last night after I saw a tweet from Jonathan Kuminga's agent. And you sent it to me. And Jonathan Kuminga's agent set out a tweet.
Aaron Turner.
Aaron Turner sent out a tweet. He's Jonathan Kuminga's agent. And there's reports out there that Jonathan Kuminga turned down $30 million. And Aaron Turner, last night, Kuminga's agent, responded to somebody else's text and said, no one on our side was turning down $30 million a year. Our camp is smarter than that. Narrative makes no sense. Twisted up Slater's words, I think. And, of course, he meant Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors. And so I just started to think, you know, it could be anything. Like, do you believe that Kuminga turned down $30 million? You know, we talked about Bob Melvin all week and his demeanor. And we just assume that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't get emotional and he doesn't hold people to account. And yet 2 days ago or 3 days ago after Monday's loss, I think it's become obvious that he did have words with the team after that game. So I always just think about, you know, what do we know for a fact and what don't we? Because I don't know if he turned down 30. He might have. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, and he's trying to basically tell us what is going on. or at least, like, you know, get us off this path of, well, we think that he did this, we think that he did that. I appreciate that he's trying to provide some clarity, but I did want, like, my first question was why.
Right.
You know, you rarely see agents interact on social media, nevertheless, with kind of non-other media members. So I think Aaron Turner's telling the truth, and it, you know, it slapped me in the face. We've been talking about it. Do you believe it? Do you not? I trust him. I think you have to trust him. But I thought the timing of it was interesting, also considering it doesn't look like this is going to come to a close anytime soon. So why did he feel like he had to step into X Twitter and tell us the truth, essentially?
Right.
You know, was it getting out of hand in his mind? Is there something happening behind the scenes with the Warriors and Kuminga and the conversation? And I just wonder, again, why this is all happening now. But I think your question about, like, what do we know? I also think what we feel confident that we know, you know, because, like, I know that Klay Thompson turned down an offer right before he left, but what do I feel confident in knowing? What do I not know?
Right.
That's what we're trying to get to the bottom of.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. And why do you guys think Jonathan Kuminga's agent would feel the need to tweet that out? That we didn't turn down $30 million. That's untrue. And then my question to Warriors fans is, what do you believe about Kuminga? Do you think he turned down $30 million? And if so, why would his agent say he didn't? 888, there's a bunch of other stuff, too, we're going to get into. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also sponsored by Honda of Vallejo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And we're talking about, what do we know for sure about Bay Area sports, and what are we just guessing at, and what do we have maybe an idea about? And what I'm getting at here to start this conversation is Jonathan Kuminga's agent tweeted something out last night, and he responded to a basketball fan who just tweeted out, should we believe the Warriors were irresponsible enough to offer Jonathan Kuminga $30 million a year so we can call Jonathan Kuminga dumb? Doesn't that make Golden State dumb too? Aaron Turner is Jonathan Kuminga's agent, and he responded to that tweet yesterday, and he wrote, no one on our side, this is Jonathan Kuminga's agent, no one on our side was turning down $30 million a year. Our camp is smarter than that. The narrative makes no sense. Twisted up Slater's words, I think. So he's obviously referring to Anthony Slater, but it doesn't sound like he's upset with Slater. It sounds like he thinks people took what Slater said out of context. Okay, well, here's exactly what Anthony Slater said and wrote. He said, this is Anthony Slater. It's possible Jonathan Kuminga would have accepted, this is last offseason, it's possible Jonathan Kuminga would have accepted a contract below max value, but Golden State never upped the offer, somewhere near $30 million, into an appealing enough ballpark. Okay? That's where we got it, right?
Yeah.
That's where it all came from.
Well, combined with Jake Fisher of the Stein Line, and I think previously Yahoo, was the one who reported the 5-for-150 figure.
Yeah.
So that's what I think a lot of people are basing their opinions off of. I mean, Ethan Sherwood Strauss on this station a couple weeks ago referenced the 5-for-150. So I think it's whether it got to that point, like I believe Aaron Turner when he says, look, we didn't turn down $30 million a year. I believe that. But again, this is what gets into the kind of the gray area of what we do know,
right,
and what we don't know. I think now we can say, all right, I trust him. We know that he didn't turn down $30 million. But we don't know if he asked for $30 million, which is one of the reasons it may not have even gotten to that point.
Right.
Like, we still don't know how much Jonathan Kuminga thinks that he's worth. which has been one of the primary issues in all of these negotiations, is my assumption is that he believes that he's worth more than the Warriors do. That's why we haven't gotten to a contract.
Right.
This summer, there's been reports about him believing himself to be a $25 million player. Well, the Warriors probably don't want to pay him that much. And we're in a halt. We're in a standstill. We're in a circling pattern. So, you know, it was just interesting reading that last night. It felt like he decided for whatever reason that he had to clear the air. And I think it's also kind of interesting timing because a lot of the conversation about the $30 million was like last week or even 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But maybe it just got to the point where it got back to him, it got back to JK, and he felt like, look, I've been doing my client a disservice. Or maybe even it might just be a purely individual thing. Like, I can't have people out there believing that I would turn down $30 million a year for my client because that's going to hurt my business. So, again, there's a lot still stuck in we don't know land, but I do have to trust the guy. I have to take him at his word.
Yeah, and this could be the two sides talking last year, and it's very preliminary, and maybe Aaron or Kuminga's camp says, you know, we're looking at, you know, we're hoping, you know, 30, 35, something like that. And maybe the Warriors said, well, that's a little too high for us. But I don't know whether I believe, like, I'd be shocked if the Warriors offered him $30 million. But last year was a different time. You know, last year was last year. All the other guys in Kuminga's class were getting broken off money. So, I don't know what to believe. And you say that you believe the agent. I'll be honest. I don't know what I believe. I really don't. I feel like there are a couple things here that just maybe don't add up. And one is, no, I don't think Kuminga, on balance, would have turned down 30 last year. On the other hand, I can't see the Warriors offering him 30 last year. You know what I mean? So I'm still a little bit confused or unsure of what's actually taking place here.
Well, the reason I think it was believable in the first place is because I think I said this, that the same summer it happened. So it was, what, it would have been last summer? When Franz Wagner got $225 million, immediately the first thing in my mind was, Kuminga thinks he's better than him. So, and again, we discussed this earlier in the week. It's as much about money as it is about status, I think, for a lot of these athletes. Who do you think you're better than? You know, it's why the quarterback market keeps going up. It's why in Major League Baseball, someone like Juan Soto is able to make the money that he does. Because if you are of a similar caliber to a player that makes a certain amount of money, you see yourself as that kind of player. I think that Kuminga thinks that he's as good or better than Franz Wagner. He may turn out to be. I haven't seen it at this point, and he hasn't been allowed to prove it. I don't think that he is. But the point is that Wagner is now a $200 million player. So last summer, when there were rumors about $30 million, and now it's kind of resurfaced a year later, I absolutely believe that, because I think Kuminga's confidence is maybe a bit irrational at this point. And some people might say that's totally understandable, but I think that he believes that he is that caliber of player. He just hasn't been allowed to prove it yet. So, you know, that's why at the end of the day, Steiny, I get the feeling like he does not want to be here, because he wants the opportunity that he doesn't feel like he's been afforded for the first 4 years of his career. And now the agent is trying to clear up a lot of the, I don't know, stuff that went down last summer, perhaps in an attempt to gain a little bit of leverage. I couldn't figure out what the purpose was for him to send that tweet out or to try and clear the air on this subject.
Well, I think on the surface, if I'm an agent and I'm being, or I perceive that I'm being painted as somebody who's dumb and who didn't take a contract that right now looks very favorable, then he's got to, he's either got to come out and say it's not true. Well, that's what he's got to do. He obviously was hearing that his client turned down $30 million and he's refuting it. He's just saying that's not true. We would not have turned that down. Here's also the other thing that I think is interesting. It doesn't matter, but for one small reason. Like, who cares what he's turned down and what he hasn't? The reality is, here we are, and they haven't agreed to a number. They just haven't agreed to a number. And so the only reason this matters is because it could affect the court of public opinion. So if it's taken as fact that Kuminga turned down $30 million, people are going to say, well, him and his agent are dumb. That's just dumb. And also, it puts, if I found out Jonathan Kuminga officially left, didn't take a $30 million contract, I'm saying, well, what do you want, kid? You know, what, now it's on you. But if the Warriors haven't offered anything over 20, let's say, well, then you might have people on the other side saying, well, the Warriors haven't really done right by Kuminga. And so which one is it? I still don't think we know, but I think at this point we're looking at numbers far lower than $30 million a year.
Well, I agree it only matters to us. I mean, people in the league, like they know what's happened here. And I think they've already, like, there's differing opinions, but I have to believe the teams that are interested in him, they've kind of made up their mind of what they think of him as a player. I don't know. I mean, it makes total sense why Sacramento would lowball him, why I think Phoenix might have even potentially tried to lowball the Warriors for Kuminga, because, like, it's just, it's come to a head. But I think that the bigger question in, as far as what we know, what we don't know in sports, especially in the Bay Area, like right now, I think is a bit more interesting to me, because we're not going to find out a lot of these details, but the ones that we have found out about particular players, let's take the Warriors, for example, I think are, I don't know, kind of, well, a lot more interesting. But again, like Klay Thompson's, 2-for-$48 million offer last summer that he turned down. Well, that's what we do know, and it means that Klay Thompson was never going to come back. And that's what it says to me.
Right, right, right.
You know, it meant that the Warriors were trying to show face and were trying to present something that they knew that he would not accept and not want to come back to. So, like, that to me is, that's a number that came out later that I think has value. Whereas, let's say a number like, we know that Draymond Green in 2023 had an offer from the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
He said it was 3-for-$105 million. That was confirmed by Logan Murdoch, maybe not the number, but that Memphis was going to send Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks, and Tyus Jones to the Warriors in a trade, probably a sign and trade for Draymond Green. That we do know. But that doesn't really change the, like, how I feel about Draymond or the Warriors, or it's just kind of a nugget that's been thrown in over a year later about what could have been.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, here's one we've talked about, and I don't know how true it is. I think there's something to it, but for example, does Steph Curry, is he the one who can determine whether Draymond Green gets traded or not? That's something we've heard over the last 5-10 years. Well, you can't move Draymond because Steph won't approve, or Steph doesn't want it. Like, do you, and I'm not saying, do you really believe that Steph Curry has impacted how the Warriors approach either keeping Draymond Green or not? And does he have finals? If you trade Draymond, I want out. I don't know if I believe that.
No, I don't think he has final say, but what I do believe is any decision the Warriors make, Curry has to be considered. And I don't mean like involved in the decision. I just mean when you're making a choice, he's the son. Everything revolves around him. So if you're making a decision about your roster, your future, you have to consider Curry's place in it. That's what I believe his influence is. And the honestly, the influence of a lot of star players, but like you can't make a choice, I think, now without thinking about, well, what's Steph going to think about this? Or is Steph going to be okay with this? So before you even make the choice or even broach him about the choice, you're considering him, no?
Yes, consider. You have to consider for sure. And you know, I don't know how beholden they are to Steph. I know it's been painted as Steph kind of controls. You know, they're not. If Steph wants Draymond, then he's never going anywhere. Really? Still? I guess I would say still. You think that's the case? But here's another one. And you know, Guru and I disagree on this one. If you're a 49er fan, do you believe that last summer, the Brandon Ayuk situation coupled with the Trent Williams situation negatively impacted the 49ers season? I absolutely believe it did. I just think it did. And it was those two guys, but it was a little bit bigger than those two guys too, because you know, the questions began to surface about, you know, whether a bunch of guys wanted to get paid in a year after they lost the Super Bowl. And we talked priorities and all those kind of things. So that's one I believe. I absolutely believe last season's offseason negatively impacted the 49ers season.
I agree with you, but what if I say that that's not the biggest reason?
I wouldn't fight you on that.
Yeah, like I think that it was one of the things that contributed to it, but I mean, last year was the perfect storm that hit the Niners, honestly.
Right.
And that was like the first thing that happened, you know, because it was in the offseason. So that's the first domino. And then, all right, well, McCaffrey gets hurt, even though he gets a new contract. All right, so people are not focused on themselves. Now injuries happen. And now OTAs are kind of ruined. Now you get to training camp and guys are hurt, guys are out. Guys are also probably pretty burnt out from having played the longest season of their careers and getting to the final game and dealing with emotional, the emotional damage of losing that kind of game. Then your first round pick gets shot. And then there's a lot of other stuff that happens off the field, the Charvarius Ward,
yeah.
It all snowballed. But I agree that that's where it started. And It just felt like everything that could have gone wrong for the Niners did last season.
Yeah, no, I it did snowball, and then they got the
and Ayuk too, obviously.
But. Right. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're also going to get into some 49ers talk, and this is I want to play this piece of sound because this kind of fits. The overall construct of what we're talking about. This was Kyle Shanahan on, and we didn't play this yesterday, on how much he trusts and how much he likes and how much he believes in Brock Purdy.
You put the right people around him, you're going to have a chance all the time. But it's also the foundation of who he is as a person. That's the type of guy I want to go to war with. Good or bad, I want to go to war with that person. And I think our team feels the same way. Me, John, and Jed wanted to keep Brock here. We wanted him to be our guy. I also know we're in a tough financial situation, which I can't totally explain, but I would say to Brock, you're probably going to see it in free agency. It's not going to be fun. I go, but I want you to know our goal, we all feel this way about you. But when you're in that situation and you have a guy that you don't have to pay that year, he still had a year on his contract. You don't have to do anything. And if you think completely from a business standpoint and just finances and where we were, why would we do anything right then if you only think from that way?
Now, I'm a little confused. Is he talking about if they really wanted to play hardball, they wouldn't have signed him to an extension this offseason?
So the second cut was when Kyle was asked about his message in Brock Purdy's exit interview that he reportedly told him that he's the man.
Right.
Like he's the guy. And that's where he brings in the rest of the brain trust to, you know, unequivocally let Brock Purdy know that he's the quarterback they believe in.
But what was the part about the contract?
Well, I think that was from 2 seasons ago. Like, they didn't have to pay him until this offseason.
Right.
And I think, we talked about this a lot, but in my mind, there was no chance that they were ever going to let Brock Purdy play under his final year.
Okay.
Like, he was going to get a contract extension. But what he was referring to was after 2023,
yeah,
they make the Super Bowl, it was obviously, they don't have to pay him then. Like, they gotcha. Say that he's our guy, he's our quarterback, and he's our franchise, but you don't have to pay him until next summer.
Right.
That's what I'm getting from Kyle.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption. But and like, here's one that time for me has shown me that maybe I was wrong about something, believe it or not. No, I'm kidding. But during when Brock Purdy took over and had it and played for a year or two, and the idea, they knew they were going to have to pay him at some point. I was not sure that Shanahan was in love with him enough to get to pay him what he ended up paying him. And that was wrong, because clearly, if you look back at it now, they love Brock Purdy. They have to. You cannot give a guy that much money if you don't utterly and truly believe in him. And I don't think you can. I don't think you believe in somebody at the snap of a finger. I believe you believe in somebody when you see their body of work accumulate over a period of time. So there was some point in the process with Brock Purdy between the time he took his first snap to last snap last year. Like, they believed in him, and anybody who suggested Shanahan, he's fickle with quarterbacks, who knows, I could see him moving on. No, they never were going to do that. They weren't. Well, so they were committed.
Yeah, again, under the theme of what we know and what we don't know, what we know is that Kyle Shanahan, when he was talking about Brock Purdy for the 2.5 years before he paid him, he wasn't lying. You know, people may think that Brock Purdy is good, bad, terrible, whatever. That's not what Kyle Shanahan thinks. And I think they told us that this summer by paying him. Like, what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and really the 49ers organization did is, but I think Kyle probably the most, he's putting his job on the line. If Brock Purdy doesn't pan out, Kyle Shanahan will not see the end of Brock Purdy's contract. If he's not a good quarterback and it turns out that he's a pumpkin instead of a stagecoach, and the clock strikes midnight at some point this season, next, like, Kyle Shanahan is not going to be around to see the end of Brock Purdy's contract.
Right.
That's what I think. I mean, that's a big gamble that you can't miss on. And I don't think that he's willing to put his career on the line, at least in San Francisco, without confidence that Brock Purdy is going to make him look good. Like, that was a good decision.
Right. This on the Boxer and Gershon work injury attorneys text line from the 415. You don't think they have to do all of this after missing on the number 3 pick, Trey Lance? That's a part of this equation we can get into, but what do we know and what are we speculating on in terms of the Niners, in terms of what's going on with Kuminga, et cetera, et cetera. 888-957-9570 is the number. Hey, time's ticking at Frontier Ford. The $7,500 federal EV tax credit disappears soon, and our huge inventory of Mustang Mach-Es, it's ready to roll. Over 60 Mach-Es in stock, all loaded with tech and range. Don't wait for the deadline. Grab yours now, save $7,500, and drive electric today at Frontier Ford. That segment also sponsored by Frontier Ford.